living at a time where people who are staying in the church are saying to the church, God is out of style. He's no longer relevant. We've got to look elsewhere. We've got to come up with some new stuff. And Christians gobble this junk up. And then they get offended at a man like me for standing in the pulpit and saying that stuff is anathema. It's junk. It's a lie. It's Satan.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Colossians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, with today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says these words, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division." The idea behind those words is that truth is a separator. He was going to bring the truth. He did bring the truth, and that was going to cause problems. It has been causing problems, the truth of Jesus Christ, to this day. And unfortunately, Christians seem to fail oftentimes when it comes to standing up and saying, no, that's not what I believe. When some heresy or false teaching comes along, they just seem to want to make it work instead of standing up against it. In the day of the apostles, the dominant heresy when the Jews were the majority in the church was Judaism, this mingling of Moses' law with the cross of Christ. And Paul took the lead in refuting this, and this is, of course, the Galatian letter, essentially, dealing with that. But then once the Gentiles began to be the majority in the church, another heresy began to creep in, a false teaching, that is, and that is Gnosticism. And they sought to mingle Judaism and mystical things and other eclectic ideas, that is a combination of the best from the worst, the false teachings, bringing them into the true teachings, that it is the spirit of leaven. And John the Apostle, as well as Paul in this Colossian letter, rose up to refute that. In fact, the Gospel of John is written to refute the Gnostic heresy, as well as his letters. And here in Colossians this morning, we are watching the Apostle Paul deal with these absurd teachings. And what he's really focusing on in the early parts of this letter is who Jesus is. As we mentioned last week, the mariner does not have to know where every rock is. He has to know where the deep waters are. That's Paul's strategy. He's going to give them Jesus. If once they understand who he is, they should be able to defend themselves theologically against these heresies. If you do not know your Bibles and the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, it'd be better for you not to answer it. If you do know your scripture and you choose to engage with them, you will conquer. You will be victorious as far as upholding the truth. Whether or not they receive it, that's a different matter. Now, with any heresy, with any false teaching, as it is today, what has to happen is there are, I think, four key, to stay true to the word four, there are four legs that belong to this. One is you have to have Satan orchestrating the lie, the false teaching. Then you have to have a charismatic enough teacher to begin to push the lie. And not only charismatic, they have to, what also helps is if they are polished, well-spoken and educated. And then you have to have a ready audience to gobble it up, one that's refusing to stand up and say, no, that's not what we believe. Which has irritated, incidentally, has irritated people against the Jews down through the ages because they would stand up and say, no, that's not what we believe. Now, not to say that we believe in Judaism, but you cannot take away from them that they have stood against, in their orthodoxy, the cultures that they have found themselves in. But the fourth leg to this is there has to be something about it that works a little bit. It doesn't work with God, but it has to work with people. That's always the case with false teachings. There has to be something in it that people can say, okay, I can see that. Enough of it to accept. Enough of it to be able to block the truth. And a driving force in shaming the name of Christ and the Christianity, the face of Christianity, especially in our country and through the ages, I think has been this confusion about who Jesus is. When the church knows who Christ is, then nobody's going to get in and cause any problems that are going to last and be effective. But when the church is, you know, well, maybe, and not clear on it, that's when the lies take root and become successful. And so what we have is a very real enemy in Satan. He is an enemy of truth. And to hurt those who want to be disciples of the truth under the lordship of God, he attacks the source, the stream, the headwaters of the truth. And for us, it is the New Testament. Everything we do as Christians is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Satan knows this, and so he attacks it. And he has these men and women writing books and gathering followers and putting out these YouTube videos and other sources of media that are contradicting what the apostles stood for, and what they stood for was Jesus Christ. He entrusted them with this. That's why they are called apostles. They are sent out to do the very thing they have put together for us known as the New Testament. Listen, Paul writing to Timothy. Paul's at the end of his life. He knows it's coming. And he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Well, who did he learn them from? Yeah, well, far back, his mom and his grandmother. But right now, it's Paul. That's who he's talking about. He said, you know what I taught you, lad. Don't back down. Don't move away from it. Stay focused. And as far as we know, Timothy did just that. I know I'm going to get to Colossians, but I am determined not to rush through this powerful epistle. And I think what makes it stand out as being so powerful to us today is what's happening around us in Christian circles. All this nonsense about relevance and culture. Listen, to suggest that the Bible is not culturally relevant is to suggest that it is flawed and that the writer of it also has got some issues, that he's got problems. And the writer is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And how dare you remain in Christianity or pretend to and mess around with it at the same time? Fine, you don't believe it. You're not under the discipleship. You're not a disciple. Where we get our English word mathematics from, matheos in the Greek. You're not disciplined to follow the Lord, because if he is Lord, you cannot tell him no. You might not like it. You may not like what he commands, but you can't say, no, I'm not doing it. It's wrong. And this is what they're doing. And you say, okay, fine. You want to fall away from the faith, then get. But don't stay in the house trying to burn it down. And this is what they're doing. And so these are the times we live in. And listen to these scripture verses. You know, in this country, we hear a lot about the founders looking ahead to keep the nation free and strong. Well, the scripture goes far beyond the founders of this nation in its scope in dealing with what truly matters. Ephesians 2:20, Paul says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Then Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. He's talking about the mystery of Christianity, which the Old Testament, they had pictures of this and that, but they did not see the church as she is. And he continues, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Jude 3, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And then Jude 17, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there, truth, the separator. We're living at a time where people who are staying in the church are saying to the church, God is out of style. He's no longer relevant. We've got to look elsewhere. We've got to come up with some new stuff. And Christians gobble this junk up. And then they get offended at a man like me for standing in the pulpit and saying that stuff is anathema. It's junk. It's a lie. It's Satan. It's not some intellectual that's just wrong. It's Satan that's pulling the strings to that person. And it's the people receiving it, liking it, enjoying it, as their self-esteem, their self-image is left intact. Because you see, the gospel strips us. It makes us paupers. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who stand before God and say, I got nothing. The only thing I can have is you. And if I got you, I got everything. And that's the pauper that Jesus talks about. And so this apostolic authority sees God as big. This cultural relevance has a teeny weeny God. It's no God at all. And hell is mocking them. And they're too arrogant and intellectual bound that they don't even know it. And we're not supposed to hate them for this. But we are not supposed to join them. We're supposed to stand up against them and call it like it is. And this is what the church needs. I reading the Colossian letter yesterday and just noticing that this is the supremacy of Christ. In the first chapter, Paul is saying he is, before all things, the creator of everything. He is everlasting. He is eternal. Therefore, he is relevant eternally. Jesus Christ, God the Son. And then you come to the second chapter, and there we find the relevance of the everlasting Word of God. For example, in verse 4, of chapter 2. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And then he goes on, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Where would I find this according to Christ? In the New Testament and nowhere else. Well, the Old Testament joined to the New, of course. But I'm not going to find it in some creative writing class. It's not going to come out of some great idea I've gotten from reading Karl Barth or some other numbskull theologian that departed from Jesus Christ and still held to his name. That's forgery. That's a hijacking. Chapter 3 of Colossians, we discover the... Now, this is an outline. There are many ways it can go. We cannot limit the scripture by outlining it. It is too big for that. But you can outline it nonetheless, but it's just not absolute. In chapter 3, I notice the enduring relevance of our obedience. Verse 5, for example, he says, therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And then in verses 12 through 25, he goes on to say, hey, clean up the relationships. He doesn't write 13 books or 13 chapters. He gives us 13 verses. He says, mom and dad, you want to, get along right? Set in order your home according to the scripture. Children, obey your mother and father. This is the will of the Lord. This is pleasing to God. You employers and employees, you better get in line to what the scripture says if you say you're a Christian. There's nothing else to say to that. It's not okay, now let's make this into a whole book and sell them and make a lot of money from it. It's right there. I had a friend, pastor friend the other day, we're talking about a lot of this stuff that's going on and in Christianity. And he says, he says about me, and I took it as a compliment. I think he meant it. He says, no, Rick, you're just cut and dry. You've always been that way. I've known him for years. And yeah, that's right. I'm cut and dry when I can be because it works. Aim, shoot, done. But there are others that are not cut and dry, but they're just as effective or more effective. I mean, that's not wrong to be another way, but that's not how I am. And I see that in the scripture. I see Paul say, what do you want me to do? Write 40 pages on raising your kid? Why don't you kids just obey your mom and dad? That's what God said. What do I got to say? Obey. And then in the fourth chapter, we have the relevance of the followers of Jesus Christ. He died for you. How much relevant does that get? I'm not going to get that from some culture. I'm going into cultures trying to extract the lost by preaching the gospel. I'm not trying to conform to their idea of anything. When it comes to spiritual truth, this is a dead. This is done. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is set. Just in chapter 4, he talks about Tychicus, a beloved brother. Then Onesimus, a faithful beloved brother. Our Aristarchus, fellow prisoner. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Epaphras, who is one of you. Jesus, who is called Justice. I love that. We're not calling him Jesus. We call him Henry, Walter, anything, but we're not going to call him Jesus. I like that. We're going to get to chapter 1 in a minute. Just want to finish this overview up because it's relevant. He says, Luke, the beloved physician. He could have said Luke, the Gentile dude, because Luke is the Gentile writer in the New Testament. The book of Acts, the Gospel of Luke comes a la Gentile. Then there's Nymphas, not a good name for a guy, but that was it. And then he says in verse 16, read this letter among you and also swap letters with the church at Laodicea. Read their letter and they'll read you. And that it's all about you in Christ Jesus. Then he continues in verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. Nothing else needs to be said to Archippus after that. That's all he had to get from Paul. Take heed to your ministry, bro, and do it. Yeah, aye. What does he need after that? Just the zeal to go out and pursue it. And so this is what we're looking at with this Colossian letter. This is what's gone into it, and Satan can't stand it. And so he tries to, as Paul said, after my departure, ravenous wolves will come in from among you, where they will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You just go to any bookstore in the spiritual section, and you see the heretics right there, because they choose to be. It's not like, oh, you poor little thing. They got the same book as we have. Well, they have no excuse, except they have departed. They have gone their own way, not according to. You know, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, communion. They continued in the apostles' doctrine because those men were sent by Jesus Christ to establish it, not these Johnny-come-latelys. It should rile us up. We shouldn't take this lying down. When we come across a family member or a foe or an associate that stands up with these people, we should say, hey, what is your problem? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. These newcomers, or those who are sent and anointed and ordained by the Lord Jesus himself. Choose you this day. I'm not saying I don't like you. I'm not saying I don't love you. I'm not saying I'm going to stop praying for you. But I am telling you to your face, I disagree with you, and I disagree with you with a passion that Satan fears. Because this kind of passion is born of the Holy Spirit, and not of some sort of man rage. And now we come to verse 17. And there in verse 17, Paul continues talking about the majesty of Christ. He says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. It is the mind of Jesus Christ, not mind like I possess it, but a mind like it is both. It is a mind that I possess it. It is a mind that I've dug this out. It is mine by creation, he says. It is mine by Calvary on the cross, he says. And it is mine by conquest, because I'm able to beat all who stand against me. I am the Lord. And not only does he have ownership by creation, by paying for it, by being worthy, but he holds it all together. The sun does not go out of its appointed rounds because he holds it there. There's not some magical force in the universe that just works these things out. And it is an insult. It is an insult for intelligent men to take such a juvenile position when it comes to the universe. How can a man like Einstein stand up and say that the universe is marvelous and it's wonderful, but yet it is my reason that everything must conform to and not to God, a superior and a sovereign God? This is madness. And this tells us little people, that God is big and Satan is real, and we better be busy about his business. And we better preach it. We better preach it like we mean it. And here in verse 17, it says, he is before all things. Not he was before, he is. Paul affirms the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. And the pre-existence of Jesus Christ is the self-existence of Jesus Christ. And this is another reason why he alone is worthy. And he sits at the right hand of God on his throne, in his pre-incarnate place, even at this very moment. Paul will talk about that. Oh, let's see. I want to say chapter 3. It is chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He's not sitting at the right hand of God as being less than God. He is sitting at the right hand of God, being equal with the Father. And this is basic Christianity. When you come to Christ, these are the things that you learn very quickly, that he is Lord of all, and we bow down to him because he alone is worthy. He continues let's take verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Now this, and he, in the Greek, it is emphatic. There is an emphasis, and he. So that no one misunderstands what Paul is saying as this letter is written. No part of the body is to give orders to the body except the head. And when another part of the body begins to give orders, you have a condition that is spastic. And it is not right. It is irregular, and it is an abnormality. It is an illness. And this is the church in many cases. The church has oftentimes has many heads. And again, something with many heads is a monster, and it needs to be taken out. And this, I think, also answers why there are so many problems in families. The roles of the individuals in the family is not being followed as given to us by God. That's why Peter said, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Done deal. Next. No, don't go next. Give us 45 reasons why. We don't need 45 reasons. You got one. God said it. Now, next. And I tell you, it is the problem in most Christian relationships. Who's the head? Who's in charge? Who's the leader? And when that is not clear, confusion is in its place. And you know what the scripture says about confusion? Confusion is not something that comes from God. He is not the author of confusion. I love reading this verse from James chapter 3. Listen to this. who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom.
We are so glad you tuned in today to learn from the New Testament letter of Colossians on Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference Radio is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. We're honored to be able to share God's Word with you each time you tune in. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes and Google Play Music or your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the Bible right here on Cross Reference Radio.